Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are glad that you found your way here. You can take a look at how we are church together there in your bulletin. There are opportunities for worship, fellowship, mission, and learning. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone sitting around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship today to receive any questions you might have. We've got a few announcements this morning. Jen, why don't you get us started?
Good morning, everybody. I'm really, really excited because today is the first day I'll be meeting with the next Jamaica group. So Jamaica 2020 is gearing up, and I'll be meeting with those of you going on the trip and your parents right after worship in the Senior High Lounge. Thank you.
Bob?
Good morning, everyone. Bob Binko. If you like donuts and cleaning, then Saturday is the day for you. We have our annual spring cleanup, 8:30. It's in the bulletin if you want to look at it. Thank you very much.
Tom, donuts and cleaning, my two favorite things.
I prefer tortillas. Good morning. Buenos dias. We've got an announcement just to remind you that if you ordered flowers, hanging baskets, or flats from the Guatemala Partners Group, Tuesday is the day for pickup. And we should have the truck unloaded and organized by 9 o'clock. So stop by and pick it up. Thank you.
All right. Larry, Jenny.
Good morning. Well, our fifth annual GPC Giant Community Flea Market sign-up sheets for volunteers is in the narthex. Not in the usual spot. We have a dedicated spot, but part of the fun is finding them. However, if you can't find the sheets, you can go onto the church's Facebook page and sign up online, okay? We're going 20th century, not quite 21st, but 20th century anyways, okay? We're still looking for a chairperson or persons to run the baked foods booth, as well as the hosts and hostesses. I definitely still need people to help set up on May 24th, May 31st, and June 1st. Again, this year, we'll only be accepting donations of books, hard or soft cover novels, biographies, children's books, etc. No textbooks, please. No encyclopedias, no journals, no magazines, no family Bibles, no tapes, please. Potted plants, Jenny will address that more. Baked foods, anytime on Friday or the morning of the market. It's our biggest money maker. And I know we have such great bakers in the church. It's always a delight to have them donate everything. Please do not donate other items because we have no space to sell them. Consider being a vendor. We still have a lot of slots open. So it's a lot of fun. You meet new people. Hope to see you there.
Yes, it's that time of year, too, when your gardens start awakening and your perennials start popping up. I encourage you to check your perennials and see if they need to be divided. And if they do, consider donating them to the flea market plant sale. If you have any questions or if you need any help or pots, let me know and I'd be happy to help you. Also, if you're interested in volunteering for any part of that day, we have a tent so you're not sitting in the rain, hopefully no rain, or in the hot sun, then we have the tent. But sign up for as much or as little time as you have and we'll be happy to have you. Thank you.
I think we're all hoping for the hot sun. Oh, goodness. Friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Thank you. Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Brothers and sisters, if you lift your net and it is empty, come here. We'll cast it out again into Christ's abundance. If you open your eyes but do not recognize the Holy One, come here. If your life is filled with mourning, come here. Come here, sisters and brothers, to give blessing and honor and glory to God.
Please join with me in the Litany Prayer of Confession. Merciful God, Saul did not recognize the presence of the Holy One and the followers of the risen Christ until your light struck him sightless, helpless, and at last able to hear your voice. In our day, too narrow vision stops us from recognizing your presence in all of creation. We fail to see. The disciples could not succeed in fishing until the risen Christ showed them how to cast their nets into your abundance. In our day, we too often treat this world with arrogant self-righteousness, as though it is our exclusive domain. Forgive us. Teach us again that you have placed us in an eco network of relationships. Lead us to tend the gift of your creation, that we may feed the whole world community today and our children tomorrow. Amen. God's love for us is ever sure. Given in mercy, gratefully, thanks be to God. And at this time, I would invite the children to come forward. A little bit chilly here, But that's okay, because we're going to get up and we're going to move. Does everyone want to get up with me? All right. Because after Easter, the disciples saw Jesus 3 times, and they just couldn't stay still. Do you all know something about not being able to stay still? Yeah, they needed something to do, and so those disciples, just 7 of them, they went on a very long walk. 4-day walk. Should we go on a 4-day walk? No, I think I'd miss my bed. We might miss our mommies and daddies. Well, we're just going to go on a short walk. The disciples went on a walk from Jerusalem to the Sea of Galilee. Will you come with me? Come on. Come on. Come on. Ready? Not quite 4 days, but a little ways. They went to the Sea of Galilee, and there, the 7 disciples, they went fishing. Have you ever been fishing before? Have you ever caught any fish while you were fishing? Yeah, no, I know. I don't catch a whole lot of fish when I go either. The disciples went fishing, and they went fishing all night long. Can you imagine how tired they would be to go fishing all night long? Wow is right. And then the sun started to come up in the morning, and I bet they were so tired from fishing. And do you know what? They didn't catch any fish. And they saw on the shore a man standing there, and the man said to the disciples, "Hey, friends, did you catch anything?" Disciples were like, "No, obviously, we don't have any fish." Do you know what the disciples couldn't tell? That the man standing there was Jesus. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Hey, disciples, put your net on the other side of the boat." The disciples put the net on the other side of the boat, and they brought it up, a net like this one, and oh my goodness, do you know how many fish were in there? This many. Can you guess how many fish are right here? Guess. Guess. How many do you think? 1 million? Not quite. How many? 1 billion? Not quite 1 billion. 32. These are all such good guesses. The Bible tells us that there were 153 fish. Guess how many fish are right here? 153 fish. That's a lot of fish, isn't it? So many fish that the nets were overflowing with fish. And when they brought all of those fish in, Jesus said, "Hey, friends, come and let's sit down." They sat down around a fire. We don't have a fire here. Probably good. I'm not allowed to play with fire. Are you? No, that's good. So they sat with Jesus around a campfire, and they ate some fish together. Jesus asked one of his disciples, Simon Peter, if Simon loved him. And Jesus said, and Simon said, "Of course I do, Jesus." And Jesus said 3 different times, "Feed my sheep." And I think Simon wasn't so sure he knew how to do that. But you know what? Jesus had given Simon and the disciples all that they needed to feed and care and show God's love in the world. Did you know that each of you has what God has given you to love other people? Your parents and your friends and people at school and people here in the church and in the whole world. So much love right in front of us. How much love? How many? Who remembers? 153. You guys have good memories. Uh-oh, it's going to start coming down. Can we pray? Can we pray? Can you show me your hands? However you want to pray. Put them together, put them out, put them up, whatever works. Holy God, thank you for all the fish. Help us to show your love in the world. Amen. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for all your numerological help here. So you can go to Sunday school, all right? Sound good? Where are we going? I don't think Sunday school's that way. Is it? There we go.
first reading this morning is from Acts 9, verses 1 through 6. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do."
Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice, rejoice.
Our second reading of the word today comes from the Gospel of John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the Twin, Nathan of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Friends, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat. You'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" This time Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten up your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands. Someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." What if we need to be open to change, to see the risen Christ in our midst? A poignant question raised by a commentator on this text in the Christian Century magazine, the Reverend Lisa Jenkins, is pastor at St. Matthew's Baptist Church in Harlem. And she offers a way of reflecting about this text that really got me thinking this week, about what it means to encounter and to follow our risen Lord. As I talked about with the children this morning, this is the third appearance of Jesus by the disciples since Easter morning. For some reason, they didn't see him this time in quite the same way. Maybe it was that four-day journey it took to go from Jerusalem to the Sea of Galilee. Or it could have been there was a sense of division among the disciples. After all, only 7 out of the 11 decided that this fishing adventure was a good idea. Just about 60% of them got on board. But I'm guessing it was a combination of factors, including the exhaustion of putting a night's work into their fishing. How frustrating it must be to put all their energy into their job and to be no better off than when they first started. They keep coming up empty. And then up walks this man with this very simple question. Friends, have you no fish? What an exasperating question. Remember, at this point in the story, they don't know who he is. And they offer a one-word answer. No. But I can almost hear all the other words that are going unspoken in their minds, perhaps even muttering under their breaths, with the dark circles underneath their eyes and those slumped over shoulders. No, we don't have any fish. Can you see that? No. No, we don't have any fish, the food we need to make a life, to trade and to sell for our own survival as fishermen. No, no, we don't have enough fish, even for just a simple meal to nourish our bodies. We have nothing, even though they had worked so hard putting everything they had into something that was really straightforward, basic to their understanding of what it means to be the people that they are. They're fishermen. Fishing is what they do. And along comes this man who they still don't recognize as Jesus, and he asks this condescending sort of question. And then he has the audacity to offer unsolicited advice. Just cast your net onto the right side of the boat. That's the right-hand side, not really the correct side. It's all about these sailing terms. But basically, Jesus tells them, switch to the other side of the boat. Now, it would be one thing if the stranger on the shore had proposed some radical new technique for fishing, but the answer is so painfully simple that it seems to have no chance for success. And the Reverend Jenkins suggests in her article that it seems to the disciples like a simple change. And often, it takes a simple change to make a great big difference. It takes Jesus to introduce something new into the disciples' routine to help them to recognize him. Now, this is where I diverge a bit from the reflections of the author. I happen to think that the change was not so simple for the disciples. I think she misjudges the human capacity to change so openly and willingly. The prospect of change for most people causes them to be uneasy at best and downright irrational at their worst. And so when Jesus tells them to cast the net onto the other side of the boat, I love how the gospel writer shares the disciples' response. Now, in the New Revised Standard Version, they translate the Greek as, so they cast it. But I think other translations in this case are a bit more accurate when they write, when they did. When they did. Such a small detail in writing can reveal so much. Because John could have written that the disciples did so immediately. It's a favorite adverb used by the other gospel writers. They did not rush to do so, like Peter and the other disciple when they heard about the empty tomb. This was a when they did sort of moment that indicated that they hesitated to consider this change. Because what if he's wrong? They still don't know that it's the risen Jesus before them. What if they go through all of this work of hauling their nets out of one side of the boat, spend all that time untangling and repositioning and putting it back onto the other side? And what if it's just not worth the effort? What if one of the disciples has a bad back? Really? And to switch positions means that one or more of the disciples just doesn't feel safe trying to pull the net back on that other side. Or what if Zebedee, the father of two of the disciples, taught his sons that the right way, the only way to catch fish, is to cast on the left side of the boat? And these sons start to get really uncomfortable to even think about trying to catch fish another way other than how they've always done it. Perhaps the change seems simple to any casual onlooker or reader, as the case may be. But could it be that this change is more complicated than one might assume? That it took time for them to process through the potential benefits and drawbacks of such a change. But when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Now, that initial response right there can get a little tricky for us in our current cultural norms. Sometimes we think that this is the point of the story, all the fish. The voices in our head even remind us of another story in the Gospel of Mark, when those same fishermen were first called by Jesus, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Well, we falsely equate the two stories in a way that leads us to believe that any kind of change, this change, how we change ourselves, or how we change who we are as the church. If we just do that, we might attract so many people that our nets will break capacity. Except this is not the story in John. Yes, when they did cast those nets to the other side, they caught fish, so many fish they couldn't haul in. But it's what happens next that the disciples learn. What we've known about this story all along. That only when we are open to something or someone new do we realize that Jesus is in our midst. GPC, I know that change is not easy. And this journey of fishing, if you will, that we have been on over the last year to discern whether or not to move ahead with the Pathstone relationship to serve this community with affordable housing has challenged us a great deal in our thinking about what it means to be the church. Perhaps I initially misjudged how difficult the conversations would be to envision change for us here. And it's obvious that we're struggling with what it looks like to move forward. But I do want you to know that neither I nor the property development team were going to rush into this or to think anything was going to happen immediately. And I'm a little unsure, but I'm hopeful that the lack of questions and conversations at our meeting last Sunday was due to the fact that our repeated efforts to give you as much information as we could and to listen to one another meant that you felt informed and ready to make a decision. And for most, though not all, this was a when they did sort of moment. That trusting when we cast our net in a different sort of way, there's going to be real possibility to experience Christ's resurrection in our midst. Yes, it could mean that there are more people literally in our own backyard to build community with, but more importantly, we have the opportunity to see the face of Christ in them, and they are seeing Christ in us. But seeing the resurrection does require that we cast our nets to the other side. It necessitates changing how we have envisioned being church, even with that property in the back, how it will be used. And seeing the resurrection involves us seeing with God possibilities for our future together. And we might have a few Peters who jump right into the water to get closer to this possibility. Others who are left with the hard work of towing the boat and a net full of fish to shore. And others who may decide this sort of fishing expedition isn't quite what they had in mind. And yet the invitation is there for all of us from our risen Lord. Come, share a meal with me. In the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the fish, we need not ask who is bringing us together around this table. But in our going out to follow the risen Christ in the world, our discipleship requires the when they did sort of moments that will change us, that will open us to seeing Jesus in our midst. And in doing so, may we remember that God has the ability to show up in every situation of our lives and to share in the abundance of grace and love God has for this world, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you.
The one to whom we turn over our lives has invited us to the table. So whoever you are and however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here, come to the feast. Whatever your condition, whatever your brokenness and hurts you bear, know that it is our host who teaches, the one who heals, and is the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is our joy to praise you, Lord God of heaven and earth, because you are continually renewing your work of creation and transforming it to show your glory through resurrection. You created us from the dust of the earth, and you recreated us by water and the Spirit. You brought your people out of slavery to freedom in the promised land, and you brought your Son from the depth of death to the glory of resurrection life. So we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope.
Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way out of sin and death. Hosanna.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is Jesus Christ our Lord, who threw wide the net of your grace. You turned word into flesh, and your perfect love cast out fear. You sent Jesus to show us a way to love you. Teaching us about your love, he filled the hungry, comforted those who mourn, and welcomed all those on the margins of this world to his table, refusing to let persecution, sin, and death have the final word. He went to the grave. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith. Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
Now send your Holy Spirit upon the bread and cup, O God, as simple gifts from creation, which grace us with your life. And upon those who gather around your table, fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. Welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit in your holy people, on this first day of the week and in the days to come. Amen. And we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends together around a similar table. On the night before, he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and he made it holy, just as he takes common people, like each and every one of us, and makes us holy. To remember, he asked that we repeat this act again and again, and he did by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread. He poured it, so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new, faith you wouldn't know how to ask for, faith that will surprise you, faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink, do this in remembrance of me." We break the bread and we drink from the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life, and for the faith to hope anew. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry, and those who believe in me will never thirst. Taste the goodness of God's grace.
Thank you. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Friends, taste the goodness of God's love.
Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be bearers of love wherever we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
Fed and nourished at this table of grace and love, in fact, we do go out into the world to share that love and that joy. We also bring those concerns and joys here within these walls to share in prayer those requests. If you have one you would like to share, please raise your hand. Let us know who you are, and we'll share that prayer together.
Kate Stanford, I have a couple requests. I have a neighbor of mine who is battling cancer for the second time. She had some complications and was hospitalized. So if anybody who can please keep her in our prayers, her name is Annette, and she and anyone else who's suffering right now would be welcomed. Also, another neighbor lost her job recently, and for those looking for work, that God leads them where they need to be.
Held in prayer. Amen. Thank you, Kate. Any other prayers today? Also, just a reminder, in the back of your bulletin, there are also names that we hold in prayer. And with our children this morning, we pray for the kiddos who had state testing last week and apparently still recovering, and those who have state testing in the week to come. For a stepmom who had surgery and is doing much better, we pray for a teacher who will be having surgery and might be out for the rest of the year. Prayers of joy for a librarian who had a baby. Love all these prayers. Prayers of thank you. Thank you, God, for everything. For food and kitties and stickers and garbage trucks and special treats and science and animals and creation and food. Amen. Let us continue our time of prayer together. Holy Risen One, signs of your resurrection surprise us with their ordinary sacredness. We go about our lives not knowing how to live into the new life you promise. So what we do what we know how to do. As the disciples go back to fishing, we get back to business. All the while, in the back of our minds and hearts, we grieve your absence and we feel like we miss your presence. And just when we start to think that you were a dream, you show up as ordinary sacredness, grilling fish on a beach, offering small kindness through a stranger on the street, a simple moment of love with a friend, a tulip blooming in the rain. Help us to remember that everything is different in the living of our lives because of you. As we celebrate new life, we are mindful of the places and people and creatures who suffer in mind and body and spirit. We are mindful this morning of war-torn countries, refugee children who pick scraps of bread off the street to eat. We are mindful of those dealing with stress, for caring for loved ones, of those whose bodies are racked with disease and sickness. We pause here just to remember them. God, open our hearts. Open our entire lives to the ways in which you are doing a new thing in this world. Help us to remember to follow you and to pray those words that your Son taught us to pray when we are together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Let us now joyfully receive the morning offering.
We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Please take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Extend in multiple its reach and influence. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
May we go to the places of our lives and out into the world to share the good news of Christ's resurrection, that the world is changed and new by the grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the power that comes from the Holy Spirit to give us courage to take one day at a time, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.